have this problem. It is the ongoing issue that we wrestle with till Christ takes us home or returns. The battle with our own sinful desires. See, we're meant to be transforming the world, but actually we want to conform to the world. By nature, we just want to conform. We want to be like everyone else, do what they do. Sinful desires are us not wanting to be different, not wanting to stand out. Now, I don't know what sinful desires you struggle with. I don't know what they are. I can guarantee if you don't think you've got any, then you're struggling with the sin of pride, which is the mother of them all. So, this is a big problem. We really are all serial sinners. We're all repeat offenders when it comes to sinful desires. We all need our Saviour who can rescue us from our sin. And we need that. And we need that encouragement to be told that repeatedly. You can be rescued from your sin. Sinful desires can be bad things. They're easy to name, aren't they? Theft, murder, adultery, anger. But sinful desires can also be good things that are just blown out of proportion. Things like family, ministry, marriage, religion, possessions. Peter says, abstain from sinful desires which war against your soul. The author of Hebrews says, throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and run the race with perseverance that's marked out for you. And I say, we need all the encouragement that we can get to achieve the goals that have been set for us. I want to quote from an excellent article that I've read and reread several times, actually. It's titled this, Dear Church, We Quit, Marriage and the Ministry and Ministry Depression. As I said, this is all about encouragement this morning. It's fantastic, isn't it? It's addressed to ministers, but I think it actually applies to all people in Christian ministry. And this is how it goes. Accept the fact that ministry means stress that you can't stand, a job that you can't do, that trying harder will never be enough, and that good intentions will seldom be acknowledged, and that your body and mind can't take it. That is so encouraging, isn't it? And if you've ever put your shoulder to the wheel in any shape of Christian ministry, you know that to be true. The enormous task is completely beyond us. But the next sentence is also so important to get, isn't it? But accepting the cost of ministry does not mean that you need to roll over and bleat and slobber. You don't have to end up in the fetal position. Actually, accepting the reality of the job that is too big for us is no reason to give up. Yes, it's true. We are serial sinners. Yes, it's true. We are looked upon as foreigners, as aliens and strangers with suspicion. Yes, it's true, we've got about as much chance of discipling the nations as you would have of growing cosmos flowers in concrete. But that's no reason to give up. That's no reason to be discouraged. Actually, that's what the church has been doing for the last 2,000 years. And doing surprisingly well at it. You can grow flowers in concrete. Or you can do gospel transformation in the hard work of a lost world. And we're achieving the impossible, not because of who we are, but because of what Jesus has done. He says it there in that Great Commission, all authority has been given to him. All authority in heaven and earth has been given to him. It's not our efforts, it's not our energy, it's his. It's his strength. It's happening not because of who we are, but because of who he is. It's like climbing a mountain. If you've ever climbed Bald Rock or any other mountain, you will know that if you look to the top of the mountain, it's very disheartening. You get very discouraged very quickly. You're halfway up, you're running out of energy, and to look at the top actually discourages you totally. Don't do that, just take the next step. If you think about the next step, you can keep going, it's achievable. And I think in the Christian walk, it's like that. The mountain is way bigger. You will never get over this mountain, but that doesn't matter. Just keep doing the next step. Keep going. Paul says, and I think we can say confidently with him, we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. It's Jesus who set the course, and we just have to run the race. So back to encouragement, where does it come from? Well, it comes from God, and that's why we read that passage in Romans chapter 15. We're coming down, we're going to land there now. In Romans 15 verse 5, we're told, may the God who gives endurance and encouragement give you a spirit of unity among yourselves as you follow Jesus Christ. Where does encouragement come from? It comes from God. In fact, Jesus in John 14:26, as he's talking about leaving this world and talking about the coming Holy Spirit who would be our helper and support and comfort, he uses a word to describe the Holy Spirit, and the word is translated into our English translations as either comforter or helper or counselor. You can actually translate that word just as easily as the encourager, when the encourager comes. And encouragement is certainly one of the roles of the Holy Spirit. Encouragement comes from God, the Holy Spirit comes to us. He is our encourager. How does he do this encouragement? Well, in a number of ways, but he does it mainly through giving us the word. The Holy Spirit is the one who is the author of our scriptures. The Bible is his work to us, his encouragement to us. He gives us the word, and that's what we're told in verse 4 of Romans. It's down below there. Everything that was written in the past was written to teach us so that through endurance and encouragement of the scriptures we might have hope. So that's one avenue of our encouragement. It is encouragement from God through his spirit-breathed word. So that's why we read it. That's why I'm so interested in getting us to read more and more chunks of the Bible each week in church, because that is where encouragement comes from. It's the source of our encouragement is the word of God. What do we need to do with it? We need to read it. We need to process it. We need to reflect on it. We need to think about the great acts of God for his people in the past, because when we do that, our own little situation gets put into context. We get a bit of perspective. God has been a God of the ages. He is the great I Am who has always been and always will be. And throughout the generations, he has always helped his people. And it's worth reading the Old Testament to get a sense of God's ability to look after you through the life circumstances that you find yourself in. It's so good to read. We're reading as a family, reading through Genesis. It is such a good read. I encourage you just to start reading. If you're not doing family reading at the moment, just start reading. God is a good God. It's sin that tells us that he's a stingy God that's withholding good from us. It's sin that makes us run from God and chase our own evil desires and look for pleasure and fulfillment and satisfaction in things that are not God. God is a good God. We need to resist that. God is a fantastic God. He is for us, not against us. Look at what he's done for us in Christ. He didn't spare his own son, sent him to the cross to die for us that we might live. Now, you don't understand why everything's spinning in a tailspin for you in your life? I suggest you read the story of Joseph and have a look at how he went through such a vast array of terrible experiences with the Lord in control every step of the way, aligning up the stars and the planets so that he would go from the prison to Pharaoh's right-hand man in one night. Yes, he's an illustration of the Lord Jesus Christ, I know, but he's also encouragement for us. Encouragement that God has got the mess of our life in control, and he's got a big plan for us that's all sorted out, and the end goal is fantastic. Need encouragement? Read Psalm 121. It's on the screen. I lift up my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day, the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and your going both now and forevermore. Is that not encouraging? Is that not what we need to hear repeatedly? Maybe make Psalm 121 the daily reading for a while. It's amazing encouragement, isn't it? You're struggling with a pile of physical problems at the moment? Maybe you are. Maybe you've got a whole truckload of problems. A pinched nerve, whatever it is. Your back's going out. Maybe your body's just packing it in altogether. Maybe your life is just one big stress ball. Maybe you're under so much pressure that you haven't got any way out. Maybe you are feeling overwhelmed to the point of wanting to give up. Well, don't sweat it. A bit of heavenly and eternal perspective is very therapeutic in times like this. It's when things are going spinning out of control that it's worth stopping and steadying down by looking at God's word. Have a think about the heavenly perspective that we're given in Psalm 121. You see, the demonic forces of spiritual evil that would see you eternally condemned and destroyed are being kept at bay. They're being kept at bay by our God who watches us day and night. The evil forces that would destroy us for all eternity are both being kept out of our life and away from us by God's power now and forevermore. We have an eternal protector. We have an eternal guard who is on guard 24/7. And it's Jesus, our conquering King. He's alive, we live in him. He reigns, so do we. So Spirit and the Word encourage us. But that's not the only place where we get encouragement as Christians. We also get encouragement from each other. And this is where the significance of gathering week after week on Sunday mornings and during the week in growth groups is so important. We get encouragement from each other. And how does it work? Encourage. The word encourage actually means to inspire with courage. It's very easy to give up. It's easy to want out. And lack of courage to live for Christ and is something we all struggle with. The lack of courage to make his name great, you'll be struggling with that this week, I can guarantee it. The daunting task of what Jesus has set us to do can leave us feeling absolutely winded and worthless. But Hebrews 10:24 says this, let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds. Let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. We need encouragement. We need to be encouraging one another on to the work of living for Jesus by the power of the gospel for the cause of the gospel. And we need this, regardless of the situation you need. We need this as elders to be good shepherds, as husbands to be faithful, as wives to be submissive, as workers to be exemplary, as children to be obedient to our parents, as a loving community to be a bold witness for our resurrected Lord. We need encouragement in all these things. We need to encourage one another to be strong and courageous and confident in the power of the gospel to enable us to do the impossible repeatedly. We need to encourage each other and to seek God's encouragement to maintain the spirit of unity among ourselves, to follow Jesus Christ so that with one heart and with one mind and one mouth we might glorify God the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. So Christian encouragement is about working out where a person is at and then applying the word to that person in a relevant way. So Monday morning at the school, or at uni, or at the shopping centre, or at the office, or at the community lounge group in the retirement village, wherever you are, in every conversation, consider that person from a Christian perspective. Do they know Jesus? Then encourage them, if they don't, to get to know Jesus. If they're not a Christian, encouragement for you to them will be in the shape of you witnessing to them the difference that Jesus has made in your life and encouraging them to seek out what Jesus is all about. Encouragement doesn't have to be nice words. My mum used to say, if you can't think of something nice to say, don't say anything. I don't think that's right. Encouragement can be a sharp rebuke. Encouragement can be a rebuke done in love. It doesn't have to be just nice words. It can be encouragement can simply be a listening ear. Just sit and listen with somebody is a great encouragement to them. A sounding board to allow your Christian friend to talk things out. It doesn't have to be big and showy. Encouragement can be in the small things. I read of a man who was moved to tears by a simple word of encouragement from another Christian minister who recognised that this guy had been labouring away in a very difficult pastoral situation in a lonely mission field for X number of years. One minister saying, "You're doing a good job, keep it up," was worth more to that man than $1,000 or $10,000 put in his bank account. Words of encouragement are so important. Encouragement and turning up to your growth group when you don't feel like it, that's encouraging to your brothers and sisters. It's ringing a person that you haven't seen for a while, asking them how they're going, what's going on in their life. It's writing a note of thanks to someone or telling someone over morning tea, "You did a great job this morning. I like the way you played the violin." That's encouragement. And it's worth a lot. And it builds each other up. Here's some encouragement that I received recently. It's from little Elijah. It's not the first letter I've got from a child, but this is fantastic. "Dear Pastor Dan, thank you for teaching us about the word of Eod." No, it's God. hearts. That's encouragement. Very simple, but very effective. The Hebrew passage says, keep on encouraging each other, and all the more as you see the day approaching. The approaching day is the day of God's judgment. The day of judgment will finally come. And when that day does come, it'll actually be the end of encouragement. We won't need to be encouraged anymore because we'll have reached our goal. A bit like someone running the race of their life, and after the race you don't say, keep running, you're doing well. It's redundant. You've made it. When the day of judgment comes, encouragement will no longer be needed. We will have finished the race. We'll have achieved our goal. Encouragement is the motivator for this life, and it combats things like discouragement, regret, disappointment, sorrow, sadness, wickedness, and evil. When judgment day comes, all of those things are going to be done away with. On the final day, God will be seen for who he really is. All evil will come to an abrupt end, and we will worship and serve the Lord as we've always wanted to, and appropriately. It will be the day when everything that we hope for comes to complete finality, and the basis of our content and our encouragement will be shown to be true for all eternity. So all I can say is, come Lord Jesus. But until then, may the Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who loves us and by his grace gives us eternal encouragement and good hope, may he encourage our hearts and strengthen us in every good deed and word. Amen.